Now it's time for our weekly chat with Labor MP Andrew Little.
This week with Health Minister Andrew Little, I asked him about his recent announcement to extend current regulations on medicinal cannabis from April to the end of September and a Ministry of Health measles vaccine drive that is not hitting its targets. But I began by asking the minister about a potential members' bill from the Green Party that is pushing for cannabis decriminalisation. Here's the minister. I can't want to kick things off this week by talking about a proposed Green Party bill. The party is pushing to get a bill decriminalising cannabis use in order to skip the members' ballot queue to get on the parliamentary order paper. So what do you think of this bill?
I haven't seen the bill, so I don't know what's in it. I mean, and the process that they're talking about using is one, it's a new one, and it requires 61 MPs to sign up to it, so therefore it doesn't have to go through the ballot process, and that would put it on the order paper. So I don't know how the numbers will go for the Green Party to get there. On the substantive issue of decriminalisation, look, there's, I understand the frustration that some people have felt that the referendum didn't go their way last year. There's a reason why that legislation, even though it was voted down, plumped for legalisation as opposed to decriminalisation, is that decriminalisation is, though it kind of sounds like an attractive halfway house, it actually leaves a lot of problems still in place. And the worst of the problems are the fact that you still have criminal elements who are at the centre of supply of cannabis. It might mean that users of it, under certain conditions, you know, wouldn't be liable to criminal penalty, and I think we won't head down that road anyway, but it doesn't actually do a lot to address some of the fundamental social problems that the current regime creates, and that criminalisation of suppliers is a big one. So I personally, I'm not in favour of decriminalisation. I think we need, you know, we've still got time to have a decent, mature debate about cannabis and to head to legalisation. I'd rather put my effort into continuing that debate.
Let's say the Green Party bill has the support of 61 MPs and made its way to the parliamentary order paper. You said previously you voted yes in the last year's cannabis referendum. And would you vote for the bill?
Well, I have to see what's in it. As I say, as a general principle, I'm not in favour of decriminalisation because it still leaves some major problems in place in our kind of cannabis regime. I think part of the thing we've got is, look, to the extent that the referendum lost, and I know some people say, well, it lost by such a narrow margin, therefore we could sort of squint our eyes and pretend that it's, you know, close to a majority. It did lose, and so there's a political signal in that, and what it is, that political signal, is that there are a few more New Zealanders who want to be convinced that this is going to be, that greater liberalisation is going to be a good thing, not a bad thing. So I think going through this process, even if it's for so-called kind of the halfway house of decriminalisation, I still think doesn't sort of respect the politics. And I think the best way to respect the politics of the referendum is to actually get back in our kind of campaign horses and actually run a decent campaign, because that was the big failure last year. There wasn't a coherent pro-legalisation campaign. And actually get good information out there, you know, confront it. You know, you compare the two referendums we had last year, the cannabis one and the end-of-life choice one. The end-of-life choice one succeeded because there had been an extensive public debate, because the bill had gone through the full sort of select committee process in Parliament. But there had been a widespread public debate, and in the end, people understood the issues and they came down and made a choice by an overwhelming margin. We haven't had that with cannabis. We had the draft legislation, we had the referendum, but a pretty poor campaign to accompany it. And I think, actually, if we're being respectful of our democratic traditions, we ought to get back on the campaign front and campaign for a decent cannabis regime.
Okay, staying on the issue of cannabis, but moving from decriminalising to medicinal cannabis, you recently made extensions towards medicinal cannabis regulations. So what is this about?
Yeah, so when we introduced the medicinal cannabis regime last year, we had an exemption regime. So the idea was that we have some standards to which medicinal cannabis products are produced and manufactured. But because we knew it would take a while for importers to establish that the products they're importing meet the standards, and for local producers to meet the standards. We've put in an exemption regime. That originally ran out in October last year. Then it was pretty apparent close to that that there weren't any products that got approval, so we extended it to the end of March this year. And then I got some advice back in January to say that actually there might be a couple of products that might get approval, but a whole bunch of others that are still waiting for that approval. So on that basis, I've extended the exemption to end of September this year, so that the current products that are, available that don't meet the standard continue to be available while importers and local manufacturers are able to get their products up to standard and approved. And I'm confident that by September we will have more products available for approval.
Right. What would have happened if these regulations weren't extended? Does that mean all medicinal cannabis products will be immediately have to be taken off shelves?
Well, yeah, it would have meant that products currently available and that we know that some people are using would no longer be available. As it turns out, one importer has managed to get approval, so we gave approval last week to a couple of products, but it's only a couple of them. We don't want a market, dominated by one provider, by one brand, even in the interim, so that's why it was important to extend the exemption so that there's multiple products available. But had the exemption not been continued, then yes, it would have meant there'd be people would end up going without.
Right, but out of 33 applications, only two products were approved and both of them are from the same company. Why is that happening?
Well, that goes back to the time it has taken, longer than people expected, particularly for importers to get their relevant data from the manufacturers that they're importing from overseas. There are local manufacturers who are, and I've spoken to them, to a couple of them, saying, yep, they are geared up, ready to go. It's taking longer than they expected to get those approvals. But the industry is saying to me, look, they want the standards. The standards are important as a marker of the safety of the product. But it has taken longer than they had expected to get their approval. And look, COVID last year won't have helped either. So we've given them the benefit of the doubt. We've extended the exemption so that, products will continue to be available. But ultimately, by September, we will have an array of safe medicinal cannabis products available.
Right. The National Party's health spokesperson, Dr. Shane Retty, he moved a member's bill last week around making it easier to obtain THC over-the-counter and improving the MedSafe consenting process. It didn't go through first reading, and I kind of want to know why does Labor does not support that?
Well, I don't think his bill didn't add anything to what we've got at the moment. And even he admits that amongst the medical profession, there are still a huge chunk who are sceptical about the therapeutic benefits of THC. And so quite what it was going to add to the net sum of good things, it wasn't very clear. I mean, he wasn't even sure that many in his own party were supportive of it. He obviously got approval to put his bill in the ballot and what have you, but there's considerable scepticism even amongst a large chunk of national MPs about whether to have anything like this at all. So, look, it didn't surprise me that the bill didn't get the support that he might have wanted.
The government is conducting the review into Pharmac. Would it also examine the funding model for medicinal cannabis?
Not so much the fund. I mean, there is no funding for cannabis products. I mean, that is an issue that's got to be addressed. I'm not quite sure whether they will go that far. The idea is not to look at any specific product or any specific pharmaceutical. It is to look at their decision-making processes and the level of transparency or not that there is and what needs to be done to improve that. So I won't look at specific therapeutic products as part of the review.
Okay, moving to my final topic for today, it's on the government's campaign to vaccinate people against measles. Now, the campaign which was launched last July and it's targeting to vaccinate 500,000 people who are not properly immunized against measles, but up to now only 3% of that number are vaccinated. So what is the reason behind this?
Yeah, just on the numbers, the figure I have is the target for the campaign is 230,000. I'm not quite sure where the 500,000 came from. This is the chunk of the cohort that didn't get vaccinated during the 1990s and early 2000s. So, yeah, you're right. The campaign started in July, or started with a vengeance in July last year. There had been some of that cohort did receive vaccinations following October 2019. We had the measles outbreak during 2019, so some vaccinations had started. A total of about 16,000 have been vaccinated altogether. But since the campaign started, it's between 6,500 and 7,500, more likely 7,500. So that still is a way short of the 230,000. What I can say is that the number being vaccinated each week has risen quite significantly. In January, beginning of January, it was quite modest. By the end of February, it was hundreds a week were being vaccinated. We still need to step that up. Things like the lockdowns, particularly in Auckland, haven't helped. That has slowed things down. But look, this is just something we have to get onto. The ministry is onto. They're finding out, you know, any way they can to reach that that demographic to make sure that they're getting the message that they should get checked out whether they've had the measles vaccination, and if they haven't, to get along and get one. That's free.
Right. I apologise for mixing up my numbers. 500,000 people is the number that is estimated who may not be properly immunised between the ages of 15 and 30. But on that, in case of another measles outbreak, does the health system have the capacity to handle both it and COVID-19?
Well, that's the challenge, and that's why in both cases we need to accelerate our vaccination campaigns for both of them, because the big risk is we put the health system under pressure. We know the system was under pressure because of the measles outbreak in 2019, and that's what we want to prevent. But the other thing is too that the older you are, if you haven't been immunised against measles and you don't have measles until later in life, till you're a teenager or a young adult, it can do more serious harm to you than getting it as a young child. So the vaccination is important for your own sense of health and not causing unnecessary harm to you if you do contract it because you haven't been vaccinated. So that's why we're doing it. The ministry will be doing everything they can to make sure that their message is communicated.
Recently on similular health portfolio issues like mental health and now vaccinations against other diseases, we had people's in these areas believing that the government is focusing too much on COVID-19 response, and they say neglected other forms of the health sector. What do you think of this?
Look, I don't agree with that at all. In fact, one of the reasons why Jacinda Ardern has separated out the COVID-19 responsibility to one minister and the rest of health to another minister, namely me, is to make sure that there was focus given to every other health issue that we have going. And so I have three associate health ministers, and then you've got Chris Hipkins doing just the COVID-19 response. There's no question that the COVID-19 issue demands a lot of attention and resources from the ministry and from the health system, but that has not been at the expense of other issues. Things like the lockdowns have certainly slowed things down because you're in level 3 lockdown, you've got to stay at home unless you've got a good reason not to. So people aren't going out getting vaccinations and all that sort of stuff. So it has that impact. But in terms of other health issues, they're getting the full attention that they need and deserve.
That was Labor MP Andrew Little. The Wire.